I'ma throw it like Santana. Yo hand, yo man is a hoe like damn Santa. Let me illustrate like Dan Hanna. What I am, see this man is a grandstander. I'm a grand planner. And what I want is 40 acres, no mule, land in Atlanta, sand in Havana, ran to Indiana. Then came back for the green like Bruce Banner. Used to rock a bandana and dream of driving in a car same color as a banana. But now I'm smarter than a fifth grader.
Hello and welcome to the I Want More Comics podcast. I'm Zach.
I'm Richie.
I'm Sean, and apparently I'm hosting this week.
Yeah,
well, anyway, welcome to episode 48.
You guys told me I was hosting. What's up with that?
We changed the table and I feel big.
It's a big table. Well, it's a small table for a... it makes you look bigger.
I feel big.
Just leave it at that. So I guess I'm hosting this week, and this week is episode 48.
That's correct.
Right?
48.
We're getting there.
You're so getting there.
Two away.
It's crazy.
So explain this to me really quick. Mm-hmm. So if we're on issue 48, or episode 48, sorry.
That's correct.
And 50... Isn't it like 50's 2 weeks away? So that's going to happen like right before this event that we're going to be talking about here.
Yeah.
This Denver Comic Con event.
Sort of.
Yeah.
Are we going to die, dudes?
We are going to die. Yes.
Well, sort of. Yes.
We have thought of this. Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
when that week comes out, you may be getting episode 49. B.
Right, or 51.
B? 49B.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Episode 50 will be a special, which will put it in out of order of actual release.
Interesting.
Yeah. So,
cuz we want
51 will come out probably before 50.
You guys are confusing me. All right, we're going to just move on. Yeah. So, Zach, what do you got for news for us today?
So in the news,
the good news.
Again, we always bring this up. Some people say, why do you bring this stuff up?
Why do you bring this stuff up?
Because it's not specifically comics, but people ask about this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
What do we think about this and that? And the Black Panther trailer dropped this past week.
But that's still comics.
It's still comics. Everyone asks us what we think about it.
Yeah.
So I wanted to bring that up and hear just quick thoughts about what you think of the Black Panther trailer.
I loved it. It's not hard to say, though. Marvel's really good at presenting
something.
Building
the hype.
Right. So sure. I'm on the hype train.
Sure.
I'm ready to see it. Visually, I think it's incredible. Mm-hmm. And I'm ready to watch it now. I don't need the hype train. I can just put it on. Take my money. Shut up. Take my money, Marvel.
So when does this movie come out, actually?
February 16th, 2018.
So we still got a while ago, and this is the first trailer that they put out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see four or five more after this.
See, and that's... I'm going to put this on the table real quick.
Yeah.
I don't mind watching trailers, but I don't think we need that many.
I agree with you as well.
So, and...
Well, Marvel's usually pretty good. They only put out... Let's just be honest. They put out, like, two or three.
Yeah.
While other studios put out, like... Eight.
Yeah, I feel like I've seen the Spider-Man movie. I know we've
talked about my feelings on trailers before, and mm-hmm. They don't do anything for me, really.
Right.
I want to just go see the movie. So for me, a trailer is like hey, that's cool.
Yeah.
And I just block it out. I really do. And then I just wait for the movie.
Do you enjoy the trailer when you watch it at least the first time, and you're like, oh, that's
not
pretty sweet?
Not usually.
And then you put it in the bag?
I can actually tell you the trailers that when I watch them, they made me a little giddy, and there's like in the last 10 years, there's probably a very small handful of them.
Dude, I used to watch trailers just like when I was watching YouTube, I'd sit at home.
Well, you and Zach are similar. You guys are similar in that way. I'm not.
I have to, every week I would check at the end of the week what's the new trailers.
Well, a customer asked this today.
Yeah.
Asked both of us before you got here to work. And he said, hey, did you guys see this trailer? And I said, yeah, and I told him the same kind of thing, but because the last trailer I can remember that really well, the Star Wars, when the new Star Wars came out,
Force Awakens,
first time I saw that, I was like, all right, this looks like it's actually gonna be kind of good,
it's pretty bright.
So I will say that. But when we were watching Dark Knight and they did the trailer for Watchmen,
mm-hmm.
that made me super excited, and that was the last time I remember. A trailer made me go, holy crap, you know?
Right. And I'll give you this much, is that there have been so many good movies, especially Marvel. It's almost at this point, they just need to put, we're going to be doing Black Panther. It'll be out on this date.
Well,
and I'll be like, yeah!
So
that's pretty much a lot of nerddom, though. Yeah. So, especially when they, because Marvel is really good at tying their movie universe together. Yeah. They're really good at it.
No, they are. I was going to say that.
What makes you hyped about it?
Well, exactly what I was going to talk about. I was going to say that, I love the Black Panther trailer. And in fact, I love the Black Panther trailer more than just, like you said, every time you see a Marvel trailer, I agree with you. You get that hype and you go, oh, that's going to be cool. But I honestly think that the last time I felt this giddy about a Marvel movie was probably Avengers. I think this one has the potential to be one of the best Marvel movies that they've put out already. And the reason why I say that is because the thing with me and trailers is you can't tell them if a movie's going to be good or bad by a trailer because there's an art form now to it.
Right.
So you can make bad movies look good on trailers.
Absolutely.
But the things
that's the point of that.
Well, sure. But the things that you can see through trailers, you can see cinematography, you can see tone, you can see some things about the movie.
Right.
When you watch the trailer. So
I definitely get I'm somebody that's in the minority as far as trailers are concerned, because I just
and that's what I'm saying, is that the reason why I care is because I go,
but you also like to get really into the deep. You like to go into the deep of everything.
Well, sure.
So with Black Panther, if you didn't know about Black Panther, and you caught this trailer because you like trailers anyway,
yes,
you are definitely somebody who would go back and be like, well, who is this character? I got to know all this stuff about this character now. And you'll actually do all that kind of research, where a lot of people won't do that. You're very much that person.
Yes, I am.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with
that. The first 10 appearances of Black Panther already.
See? And that's what I'm saying. Because he'll go, yay! And then he's like, okay, I gotta do all this right now.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like he jacks in like he's Johnny Mnemonic. And it's just going, download all these gigs of information.
I do. I actually flirted with the idea of, I found a website that listed every single appearance that he's ever been in.
You see this, and he's gonna go hunt them all down because he wants to.
Which was 536 appearances. But I decided that it was a little too hard, so I'm just gonna do main books.
The fact that you know that it was 536 appearances is crazy.
So, but I mean, even with comic, it doesn't matter if it's comic book movies or what, like the Dark Tower trailer. You tell me you're going to do a Dark Tower trailer movie, you're going to do it with Matthew McConaughey and Idris Elba. Okay, cool, I could see what that is in my mind, but I was hyped, I'm going to go see the movie anyway.
Right.
The trailer didn't make me go, now I'm going to go see this, when before I wasn't. But what the trailer showed me was, It solidified, this is how Idris Elba is going to be in this movie, and this is kind of what they're doing with Matthew McConaughey, and this is the cinematography. And that kind of stuff can get me stoked.
Mm-hmm.
The trailer for It.
Right.
I've seen the miniseries. I know what happens. I know who It is.
Right.
I can tell you the spoilers about who the clown really is. So the trailer was about, for me, I got stoked after seeing that trailer because of the acting and the cinematography and what they're doing with that movie. That's what got me jazzed. Right. It wasn't, who's this clown? Right. You know? So for me, it's not you're right. You can't tell unless they want to tell you the entire story, because they'll do that sometimes. But trailers for me, they just solidify some things and they make me feel better or worse about something.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's,
for me, the hype comes from enjoying hype. I enjoy.
You like to get on the hype train.
Yeah, I just love the hype train, man. Sure. I love passion, and I love like that feeling. That tingling. That too, it's like a Christmas morning feeling. You're like, oh man, it's gonna be good. And sometimes it's not as good.
I guess
as
everything
the
inside
anticipation.
Me is dead.
But I mean, I wasn't gonna say that out loud, Sean, but. This podcast was just a really long con. I'm getting you to admit that. All right, good night, folks.
I've known that forever.
But yeah, I think all said and done, Black Panther is going, in my head, we're on board. Yes. Fantastic trailer.
Well, we're definitely going to go see it.
Yeah,
I mean that's happening. We'll probably see it as a store. Yeah. I mean, that's usually what we do. So.
The guy who did it is the guy who directed Creed, Ryan Coogler.
And it looks awesome. Very serious. Like, I don't get a Guardians vibe from this.
No, yeah.
I
get a very serious vibe from
it. Should
this
be
one.
A little more.
Well, I think it's going to be. I think it's going to be what they've always done in the comics. And
it'll have its funny moments, for sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, there'll still be some humor, but it looks like Black Panther's going to kick some butt.
Mm-hmm.
So, very excited about that.
What else we got?
The next thing that was announced from Valiant Comics, they announced next summer is Harbinger Wars 2.
Uh-oh.
Written by Matt Kent.
Yes.
Written by Eric Heiser.
Just milking that cow.
Yeah. Written by Eric Heiser, the screenwriter for Arrival, and also the writer on Secret Weapons.
Oh, wow.
The artist is Thomas Gorello, the guy from
Excellent.
And Raul Allen is going to be the artist on that. So I just wanted to bring that up here because
that
we talk about
amazing.
We talk about how great we love these creators.
Yeah.
So pretty stoked about
that.
Yeah,
I mean, again, that's another take my money. There's just these words.
I need to do something to take your money.
You already did.
Might just beat you up.
You already did.
Wait, I said that on air.
Nope. Nope. It's on record now.
Oh, no.
No.
Nobody touch Richie.
And then this week release of Dark Days The Forge.
Yes.
And Scott Snyder just put out an interview.
Like, was that like a tiny little BC book that just
came out?
No,
quite the opposite.
Tiny?
Quite the opposite. Very big.
Or was it large?
It was very, very large.
It was very large?
Yes.
It was a very large DC book. Scott Snyder did an interview today where he talked about, he teased the Forge, the casting, and Metal, the miniseries he's doing with Greg Capullo.
Mm.
So I just wanted to put this out
here.
Damn
it, that's cute. The Forge, the cast, the Metal.
Exactly.
I
wonder if they planned it.
I think they planned it.
I'm pretty sure they did.
So
really weird.
This
gotta work.
I just wanted to bring it up because we've been talking about this a lot around the shop. And
if you haven't picked it up, you need to.
Yep.
If you like Batman, if you like the DC universe,
it's completely written for you.
Exactly. And so the confusion can be brought down a little bit.
I can see Jason Page like doing the fist bump throughout reading that
exactly.
whole book.
I actually really want to get. I should get him that book and we can talk about it. But so the confusion isn't because it's been a little. Confusing. The Forge is the one shot that just came out now.
Yep.
The casting comes out July 12th, and that's another one shot.
Mm-hmm.
And that is tying into Metal. Both of these tie into Metal. Art by Jim Lee, John Romita Jr., and Andy Kubert.
Mm-hmm.
And then Metal is done by Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo, and it's going to be the miniseries.
Right.
So the first two things are setting up the world and the questions, and the Metal book is the event. So.
See, in the comic book world, a trailer actually adds to the story. So this is like the trailer, and there'll be like, you know, we just got the teaser, and the next one's going to be the trailer, and then you're going to actually watch the movie.
Then you're going to watch the movie, yes.
In this case, we're getting the Forge, which is a nice little, like, this is kind of stuff. It's the cliff. You're going to jump off the cliff. You're going to fall into a bunch of questions and wondering why. Then you're going to hit the casting. That's going to be like, I can kind of see the ground. I think I know where I'm going to land.
Somebody's
and then,
gonna
boom, we're
going to really
be in
bad.
There. It's going to hurt.
And then Scott's going to
hurt your creative mind.
Yep. And then Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo are going to rock with their miniseries that they say isn't just going to be Metal like the substance, but also rock metal. Exactly. So.
Okay, so that just happened.
All right. Then, of course...
What else we got in the news?
Well, and then, of course, we have what we do every week. We remind everyone...
Yes.
...that we have a stream sale that we do every Friday night, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m.
I've been missing out.
Time.
You have.
I didn't know we had a stream sale.
Yep, every Friday night.
Right on Facebook.
Hey, do you guys do the stream sale?
We do.
We do.
It's hosted by Zach, and I'm the Ed McMahon on the side.
Yeah, pretty much. And
the hype man with three words.
Exactly. Everybody knows my catchphrase is drop it.
Drop it like it's hot.
I thought it was like stop, no, and don't.
Yeah, that's it. Please stop, please.
So if you'd like to participate in those, you do not have to be local to participate.
Nope.
Just go on Facebook. We'll be doing a Facebook live stream, which we call the stream sale, every Friday night. It's really easy to buy stuff. We ship out stuff. You can do stuff locally. We do giveaways.
Mm-hmm.
We do prizes. We have a ton of fun doing it.
Plus you get to see Zach.
Yeah, it is the most unique experience of getting comic books, diving into geek culture,
mm-hmm.
and quite honestly, the easiest way of getting comic books.
And it's actually really interesting looking at the chatter that goes on between the customers that are sitting there watching it.
Yeah.
Because that's fun times, too.
Oh, yeah, we talk about everything. It's not just like
some
a QVC.
Some people just watch.
Yeah, they get
for,
some
like,
people
history
told
lessons.
Us they get a beer. They're like, I have to go get my, you know, like a beer, and then I got to sit down and relax on my Friday evening and watch the stream sale. I'm like, okay.
So, So you don't.
That's what we're here for.
So you don't need to even buy anything.
Just come enjoy.
Just come enjoy. So, and also we do a book club here, Nine One More Comics Book Club.
An excellent book club.
This month we're going to be meeting on the 29th of June.
Oh God!
Something
that is
going to
be like such a
it's such a hardcore week for us.
Yep.
Oh my!
From 6:30 p.m. From 6:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Mm-hmm. That's a local thing that we do in shop. This month's selection is Mystery Men by. It's from Marvel Comics. Mm-hmm. It's a one shot kind of trade thing. It was a 5-issue miniseries originally, but you can just pick up the trade if you want to join us. If you don't have the book, we do sell it here. 25% off for walk-ins, 30% off for hold slots.
Right.
If you already own it, come on by. That's fine. If you don't
heard of it,
if you don't want to buy it, you don't want to read it, and you just want to come and listen to people talk about comic books. We've had a couple people do that
as well. That's right.
So there's no need to buy to play or anything like that. So
that's correct.
So yeah, there you go.
Just show up and let's talk.
Wax geeky. Poetical.
That's right.
Exactly. All right.
Or that.
And that's it for the news.
All right. So what are we moving on to next? It's Picks of the Week, if I remember correctly.
Doing good.
God, it's almost like I've done this before or been here at least and listened
to 48 times almost.
Sort of paid attention to you guys. I don't always pay attention to you.
Oh, and I forgot to say, send in your questions for
we are coming up on episode 50 that will take place as a special. We are trying to get together.
If you don't have questions, I'll just make things up.
We're trying we are going to fill the time, but we are trying to get a live podcast together. That means inviting you guys to come sit down and chat with us
We'll have it in the other room. People can come and sit and be an audience member. We'll take questions from the audience there.
We'll even wear clothes for this one.
We will definitely have clothes.
And we already have had some through Twitter and Facebook.
Yeah.
So again, if you want to send us questions, send them through Twitter, send them through Facebook, give them to us here in store, we'll write them down. It doesn't really matter, but anything you want to ask, it doesn't have to be about comics. We've had some interesting questions, I believe, that don't even have to do with comics.
Yes, but don't fret. I know that 50 seems like it's coming up fast, but the fact is that we're bad at timing, and with Denver Comic Con and things like that coming up, we're just going to have to kind of We're going to find a way where we can all be there together. So,
yeah, like Richie said, it probably will be. It'll be like that issue of Wolverine that came out after some issues.
We're going to pull a Marvel here.
Yeah, it'll be like 49, 51, maybe 52, and then 50.
Yeah, we'll give you a few spoilers ahead of time, but we'll get back to that,
for. So. You'll be fine. Okay, let's go to the picks.
All right, picks of the week.
Who wants
to? So, I nominate. Which one of you two do I like better?
Like better. I mean, you
both go at the
like
same
Zach
time.
Better.
No. All right. We'll go with Zach. Zach, you go.
All right. So my pick of the week from last week was Batman number 24.
Oh.
Written by Tom King, art by Clay Mann and David Finch.
Is that the one you made me read?
No,
that's 23.
That was 23.
Okay. I would pick 23. That was so good. I love that issue. That was so good.
I really like that issue.
Quick thing. If you have not read Batman 23,
I just don't pick Batman because it's always my pick.
And I don't, so I'm going to pick it this time. Because I did read it, and I really loved this story, actually. Like I said, the last two issues I really enjoyed. 23, if you haven't read it, it's a one-shot with Swamp Thing. Mm-hmm. Pick that up. But Batman 24 from last week, I love Clay Mann.
Is it another one-shot?
Kind of.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, it's going to be... It's setting up some conclusion with Gotham Girl from the beginning of the run, which I really enjoyed that beginning stuff.
Correct.
And they're also delving into some of the stuff with Catwoman. You may or may not have seen some spoilers online.
Right.
If you have, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't, then don't worry about it. But
I think didn't we talk about the spoilers last podcast then?
Maybe.
For like half a second.
Oh, yeah, we did. We talked about it for a second,
So people might know.
Okay, but. So the thing that I loved about this issue, though, was the great art, of course. David Finch has been killing it. That's nothing new. But Clay Mann, he is an artist that I absolutely love. I was super excited to hear that he was going exclusive with DC. He did the first couple issues of Trinity. He's done some issues of Action Comics, Superman. But this issue, he switched off with David Finch, and I really, really liked his art in this one. Mm-hmm. I thought it was really great. I thought the storytelling in this one was very deep because it delved into that stuff we talked about what happens to Batman after the button and who is he. And he's talking to Gotham Girl, who's having the same kind of crisis, and she wants Batman to tell her how to live her life. And he goes, no, I don't even know how to live my life. I'm just trying
to... Makes me think of Joe versus the Volcano.
Kind of, yeah.
When he's in the what is it, the limo with the older gentleman, and he's trying to tell him where to go to get his clothes, and he's like, it's taken me this long to figure out what kind of man I am. I can't tell you to figure out what kind of man you are.
Yeah, no, she says, I need you to tell me what to do. And he goes, I can't do that. So, I mean, and he talks about what does it mean to be Batman, and how is Batman happy being Batman?
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like...
Yeah, it's like anything, though. I think you'd have good days and bad days if you're a Batman.
Well, the other thing I like about this book, or this issue in particular, is it shows one of Tom King's best attributes. It is the direction he takes with the long game.
Sure.
His stories take off, and at the beginning they seem very sporadic and not cohesive. And as the story continues to pull on across the year, they kind of fit into this weird puzzle, and sure, it starts making more sense and more sense.
Well,
and this seems like a one shot, like you said, but
it's
truly
not. It's not. That's the thing.
It's a pull from the very start of this 100% series, and ties it into the second phase of this series.
Exactly.
In a nice little bow.
Exactly, and that's
and
one
setting
of the things,
it up for the fourth phase of this series.
Yeah, so it's one of those things where, with Batman, this whole run, I haven't thought about it as storylines. You know, when people go, oh, did you read the I Am Bane stuff?
Right.
I go, yeah, I've read all the Bane stuff from issue, like, 8, 9, right, and 10. And mm-hmm, they go, no, these 4 issues. No, Bane's been in there since, like, issue 4.
It was, 4 or 5.
5 or something like that, you know what I mean? So I don't pay attention to that. People are like, oh, this thing's a one-shot. You know, I was like... that's, you know, it's not a one shot. It's part of the ongoing story, and it's if you want me to tell you a criticism,
mm-hmm,
I think that Tom King's Batman is not great to read if you want to read one thing. Unless, except for that Swamp Thing issue was great, but like 24, if you just want to read 24, sure, you get a story, but the oomph behind all of it is
the series behind
it. Is reading it. All 24 issues of Batman, in my opinion, have been amazing, and if you're a Batman fan and you have not read these 24 issues, you have to. But if you want to go, oh, I'm only going to read I Am Bane, but I'm not going to read the suicide arc when he went and fought Bane the first time,
right,
it's not going to be as impactful. Like you said, he's a long game kind of guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
When you read all of it, you get so much out of it. If you wanted to read one issue here or there, you're going to be lost and you're not going to have the impact. So,
agreed.
So there you go. So,
and again, he's setting seeds in this one, big seeds for the next
absolutely
future,
like
of
said,
his writing. So
he brought the fun back to Batman for me. I love Scott Snyder's stuff. There was some great stuff in it, but his was more of a deconstruction and a look at Batman. Mm-hmm. Not every issue you went, that was awesome when he punched that guy. This one is more of the old school, look at the Kite Man showing up, and
right,
the hilarity and the that sort of
the
stuff.
The Kite Man joke itself explains Tom King's writing, because
yes,
it's in every phase.
Yes, every...
And at this point, it's supposed to be this, like, stamp of, ha-ha, like,
exactly,
the Stan Lee appearance in a Marvel issue.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. So, Batman 24, if you're not reading this, I highly recommend it.
So, Richie, you know,
mm-hmm,
just to keep it going here,
right? Yeah.
Why don't you tell me your
pick? I didn't know Zach
pick
when I came in
week.
This. I
no,
just
he never
know
asked me. He never
I
asked
ask,
me.
I usually ask
I'm going to go take a nap while you guys are...
but he might not be on the same board. This is a very different concept, but it is another Batman title.
That's great.
It is the finish of DK3, the Master Race.
And you know, all I can say about that is thank God.
I mean,
it's over.
It's been a while.
It's been 2 years, so yep.
Yeah, I agree that it has been way too long for this story to come out. I like the direction. I understand why they added Book 9. It felt like a goodbye at the end of it, and I enjoyed that part. For those, obviously, that have listened enough know my love for Frank Miller. Brian Azzarello and Andy Kubert both really teamed up to make this feel like a Miller production, and
yeah,
I can see the I can see the direction that he's giving other, like, giving the process, but I can also see that there's a really a stronger cohesive story than Miller would actually produce, in my opinion. There's, because Miller's a lot more fragmentized and jarring when sure. things, and this is easier. Like, this is peanut butter on the pill, you know?
Yeah.
Where Frank Miller just kind of puts the pill in your mouth and closes it and just says, swallow, swallow. So I, for me reading this, I enjoyed the concept of a Miller verse and the continuation of that verse. And I think it's just a solid piece on the end of the trilogy of mm-hmm. Dark Knight.
I will read it once it comes out mm-hmm. in like a trade or something, because I stopped halfway through, not because I was enjoying the first couple issues,
right.
But it's been 2 years since it started, so
there's a
even I as a retailer, there's times when the long waits are just a little too much.
The couple
a little
weeks,
too long.
Yeah, a couple weeks, you
well,
know,
I mean,
a couple
I,
months, that's
yeah,
fine.
I understand
but
the pain.
Years?
Because when Planetary was coming out, and there was only 25 issues of that.
Yeah.
Well, like 25 issues, and I think an annual, so maybe like 27 issues total.
Mm-hmm.
It was like 12 years.
See?
For some crazy thing like
so
that.
So for people that don't remember, this started in November 2015. So that's a ways. I will say that... we didn't mention it in the news, so I want to mention it now, that we lost an icon in the pop culture scene, West, as Batman. And both this book and Endgame are...
That's Adam Wee to you.
Adam Wee, if you will. both this book and Endgame by Scott Snyder are concepts of Batman dealing with death.
Mm-hmm.
And in both cases... his representation is punch it in the face and not go out like wondering why, but with head held high and see what happens. One of the quotes in it is, we might as well die with blood on our knuckles if we are going to die. And a part of me will always appreciate the character, and with Adam West as a Batman passing, I couldn't help but keep harking back to the sure. way I want to see myself go into the abyss. And, you know, I just want to say that Adam was not my Batman, but he was a Batman that kept
sure.
pop culture alive at a time when it was supposed to die.
Oh, it was on its... It was definitely
we weren't
on its
supposed to be here.
Yes. So. Well, they almost canceled Batman and Detective Comics.
Correct.
Before the TV show came out.
Right, and now it's...
They had to make it campy. They had to make it fun to get readers. It, mm-hmm. it had to go
and then,
that way.
And then people said, oh, I love this TV show, and they went and started buying the comics. But until then, they were at the lowest they'd ever been, and DC went, oh, we've had these since the 30s, but we're going to cancel them and not put out Batman books anymore.
Right.
That literally almost happened.
Yeah, so we are at a point where now, many years later, it's an obvious pick of the week for us, two Batman titles, and it's not possible without putting it on the shoulders of a man that put on a spandex and took a role.
Did the Bat-toosie.
Yeah, and did the Bat-toosie.
Had shark repellent.
Oh, yeah.
Bat shark repellent.
And at the time, it's real camp, but in the 60s, it was serious camp. Like...
Oh, yeah, I got to see all the reruns of that when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
So they used to show it all the time.
So to you, Adam West, I thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, thank you, Adam.
It's for everyone, you know.
Did you ever get a chance to meet him?
I did.
He's an interesting cat.
I got to meet him at Denver Comic Con, and he wasn't shaking hands, but then he was doing fist bumps because his hands were real hard. His arthritis wasn't working. Or was working, I don't know. But
it was kicking in and not doing so well for him.
So he couldn't like shake everybody's hand and stuff. So they were like, just go for fist bumps. He's fine with doing that. And I had brought him the Alex Ross cover of Batman Meets Green Hornet.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yep.
And I was one of the early ones because I wanted to make sure I saw him. And it was the first time he had saw because it had just come out. And I was like, you know, can you sign this? He's like, what is this? And I was like, well, that's the new Batman Meets Green Hornet that Kevin Smith, he's like, oh, I heard about that, and he loved the cover, and he talked to me about, you know, how he would have loved, you know, doing more of those scenes and stuff with working with Green Hornet and Bruce Lee and stuff, and then he actually shook my hand when I, because I went for a fist bump and he put out his hand and I switched and shook his hand quickly.
There you go.
So that's one of my only times of meeting him ever.
Yeah,
and that's cool. Not something I thought I would.
Sure. He's actually one of the early celebrities I ever met.
Yeah, but he was.
I met
super
him when
nice.
I was like 20.
20.
And he was at this. Was it the Atomic? Was it Atomic Collectibles down in Denver?
It's only 6 years ago, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Or 22 years ago, whatever.
Right.
But he had just put out his autobiography, the Back to the Batcave one. I just happened to be in the area and somebody told me he was there, so we ended up going there and meeting him there, and it was interesting, and he was an interesting cat, I will say that. He was cool, yeah. I don't know, he wasn't too far removed of what he's portrayed as in TV shows.
Yeah, I don't think there was a lot of
But he was super nice.
Sure.
The thing about him I knew is that he was one of those actors that landed a role that he didn't think was going to be big, that blew up so far beyond his scope, and then
it's like all the original cast of Star Trek. Exactly. I'm sure they didn't think that was going to be something that was going to follow them for the rest of their life.
But then that melted into like his identity, and then he was really scared that was the only thing people would ever know him for, and that he'd die and fade away into this, oh, that guy that was Batman. And I'm so happy to say at 88, when he passed, he was definitely known more as Adam West. He'll always be Batman. No one will ever take that. He is Batman by far. But Adam Wee and his work with Family Guy and his presentation, he morphed his name into something else.
Well, sure. Well, and also there comes a point, and I think it's happened with William Shatner and Adam West,
with him too.
Is that they realize that
it's okay.
Well, not just that it's okay, but it's what they want.
Yeah.
The ego of everybody, especially if you're going to be an entertainer, is that you want your stuff to matter forever. Mm-hmm. You know, and some people go, oh, that means saying that you're the best Hamlet or whatever. But William Shatner and Adam West, for all of written history, as long as they're people...
Leonard Nimoy
are going to be those characters.
Yeah.
They're going to be those people, and they will live in our minds forever.
Absolutely. As long as there's a Batman.
And the guy who was Hamlet, who was amazing in it...
Yeah.
Probably not. They're going to be around. So I think that when you get older, you get that perspective of, no, I'm known as Batman for Earth. You know what I mean? Right. Not just for the 100 people. No, it's for everybody, which is
so great. As we pick these, I want to throw that out.
I like it.
Adam good. West.
Yeah, good. Yeah, Batman stuff.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. All right, Sean, what is your pick?
I almost didn't have a pick because I almost forgot my pick was because we sold out of it so fast. So this is an Aftershock comic called Baby Teeth.
Baby Teeth.
And I seriously just forgot we had it because I had to reorder it because we sold out of it.
Well, and this one read it on a PDF
like 3 months ago for the first two. So the writer of this, I actually had to pull this up on my phone because we don't have any copies.
Mm-hmm.
Donnie Cates. The artist is Gary Brown. The quick synopsis they have on here is Sadie Ritter is a 16-year-old, 9-month pregnant and scared out of her sweet, nerdy mind girl. She's having a baby that is young. Or having a baby that young is tough. Sorry, reading's hard.
Yeah.
But with the support of her loving family behind her, everything should be okay. Oh, yeah. And also, her baby is the Antichrist, and it's going to break open the barriers between the earthly and demonic planes and unleash eternal suffering to all of mankind.
Side note.
Other than that, should be fine.
So she has to deal with all the problems of being a young mother.
Yeah, because the entire story is told from her perspective.
Okay, excellent. Cool.
And she really doesn't know what's going on. But she's telling it in a, this already happened kind of.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, it's like a past tense type story.
Sure.
I thought it was kind of cool, and as far as Aftershock goes, they've been doing some interesting stuff lately.
They really have. So, I just picked up Darth Ennis's
Jimmy's Bastards.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
I read as a PDF.
Great idea.
As a PDF, and that one looks to be like it's going to be pretty fun too.
Huge James Bond fan too.
Right.
Yeah. So, but
Baby Teeth did immediately fly out of the shelves.
Yeah, like by Wednesday.
Yeah, we didn't have...
It had huge buzz behind it before it even think it hit shelves. So they're Aftershock is marketing their books really well, and they're getting the buzz out there. One of the covers
was a pregnancy test that had, like, a pentagram on it. So,
yeah.
So that was my
excellent
pick.
Choice.
That's a quick one.
No, I get it. Yeah. Check it out if you can find it.
So. Yeah. I did do reorders for it, so we should be able to get some more here.
And if you're not local, then look at Comixology or your local shop.
Or your local comic book
shop. Maybe find it on the stream sale.
There you go.
Maybe.
I dig it. I like it a lot.
All right. Zach. So that's our picks. We are moving on to spinning the racks.
Spinning the racks. Spinning the racks.
Oh. What do we got here? All right,
so spinning the racks, as we've alluded to a couple times during the show, in 2 weeks from this recording, a week from when you hear this,
the calmest time at the comic shop.
Right. It is Denver Comic Con 2017.
One of our customers was like, "Is this your first con?" And I was like, "No, I've been here a year now, and this would be the second con." It was the first thing I did with
the
store.
Who asked you that?
That was Ray.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah,
and then Richie went, "Yeah, it's another con time." which is always insanity for us.
It's absolutely.
Well, this is about the year 20, I think, that I've been doing cons.
Yeah. This is like, going to be 10 years pretty, for me.
Has it set into like nothing can surprise you now? Or is every time it's just like there's another thing?
Well, there's some surprises. Oh, no,
there's surprises every single year.
Yeah.
And I mean, this year we got to the point where we grew pretty big. I mean, we're doubling the booth size this year.
We so have a really big presence.
Instead of one area connected, we have our own, you know, four corner island, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's get the basics out of the way.
Yes.
What is going on for DCC 17? What date? What's the date?
It's
going to be June 30th.
Yeah,
30th through the
and then
right.
July 1st and 2nd.
Yeah,
that's
so. That's Friday,
correct.
Saturday, Sunday, right?
Friday, Saturday, Sunday,
right before 4th of July.
Right.
Yes. Our booth number is 1360.
Booth 1360. 1360.
So if you hear this and it's like right before, you should come see us.
Go,
say
now,
hi.
Go.
Exactly. We're going to be in the Merchant Mesa. So you'll be able to see us because we're also going to have some cool banners.
That's right.
Sean and Todd are getting the thing together and figuring out how to make it look cool.
And it's gone so smoothly. Again, this is just the smoothest.
Actually, when everybody started leaving me alone and just let me design it myself, went fine.
Went well, yeah.
I was like, nope, we're doing this. Got to do some measurements. It's all going to fit in here like this. Boom, we're bringing this stuff. Hey, look, magic.
Did you guys put up your video already?
We put up the video. Yeah.
So we also have an announcement, which you probably know.
Yeah, we have an artist who's been in the industry for, as far as I know, at least 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He's in the early days of Image. Gentleman's name is Joe Benitez.
Aw, snap.
Super.
Yep,
he's
like so good.
He's a favorite of mine.
Absolutely.
Sure. He's such a favorite of mine, I've hunted down every single Lady Mechanica cover I could possibly get my hands on.
Right.
That's his current book he's working on, and I love it. If you like steampunk, you like that kind of story.
His artwork.
With really well done art.
It's the definitive of, I see so many people just walk by when they browse the comics, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And every time they hit Lady Mechanica, they pick it up.
Oh, yeah.
They have to.
You know what?
It, like, draws you. It's moth to the flame.
I really feel like, and I may be wrong because they may be around the same time, but I think J. Scott Campbell pulled a lot from Benitez.
I would agree to that. Yes,
they were in that early Image stable.
Yeah, yeah.
They were both there. I think I thought Campbell was Campbell under no Turner was under Campbell, right? Or was he under Silvestri?
A Turner was under Silvestri.
Okay.
Yeah. And Campbell was under Lee, I think, because he was doing Gen 13 or whatever.
Mm.
Yeah. I'm not saying they look exactly the same.
Benitez,
I'm just saying that
broke out about that. They were all around that same
time. If you're a J. Scott Campbell fan, you're going to love Joe Benitez's stuff.
Easily,
if you've never seen it, that's all I'm trying to get to.
They're totally different styles.
They are.
So.
For me, it's just the way he illustrates is demanding. It just takes your
really
eye.
Really good. Yeah.
takes it from everything around it, and I'm so excited to have him at our booth.
Oh, yeah. I've been a fan since he did Weapon Zero way back in the day.
Oh yeah, with
and I love that
with,
book.
Simonson.
Yep. That was a great book, and it is not your it's not your typical take on superheroes. It's actually it's like a sci-fi superhero. Kind of a downer story, but I loved it. So. Yeah.
Fact of the matter is for anybody to be a thriving artist at Image in the 90s, that should speak for itself. Because this is the time where art was the comic book industry, and Image was the example of that.
And he had a hand to do in Darkness. Right? He was doing certain Darkness issues. Mm-hmm. He was doing Magdalena. Mm-hmm. With Marcia Chen, who is also his partner in crime. She writes Lady Mechanica a lot.
Which will have her as well,
I believe. We will not.
Oh, no.
No, she cannot make it. He will have an assistant, but it won't be her.
I heard the assistant. That's why.
Yeah. So,
so he will be at our booth?
We are super excited.
The whole weekend, right?
The whole weekend. He's going to be there.
The whole weekend. And he also has a...
He's doing commissions.
Okay. And if I remember correctly, they're doing a exclusive... cover for the con.
He has an exclusive cover for Denver Comic Con.
Yep. I think it's limited to 250. Don't quote me on that.
Is he the only one selling it?
Yeah. So he will have it there, and you can only get it at our booth through Joe Benitez.
What?
He did it specifically because the following Wednesday is the number one of his next mini.
For Lady
so you can actually get it a few days early.
A few days early.
And read it.
And if
you want to get it before it actually drops street date.
And if you have been paying attention to the news in the past couple months, they picked up Lady Mechanica for a TV series?
I think Keith told me about the tweet. He said it was either a TV show or...
The option for Lady Mechanica...
It's been optioned, I know
yeah,
that much.
Got bought by a studio to make it into either a TV or a film. Doesn't mean that it's going to happen, but it does mean that... He has sold the rights to a studio, and they have a certain amount of time to get that made if they want to.
That is just incredible.
So, so he will be there.
Mm.
So all weekend, that's going to be a lot of fun. And then also,
So another thing that we have going on is we have a secret society initiation, if you will.
Yes,
there is a hashtag that I've been building for about a year called IWMC. #IWMC.
I want more coffee.
It is not I want more coffee or care.
But I love coffee.
Or comfort.
It's I want more comics.
It is I want more comics. It's the name of
our
store.
Oh my, that is clever.
It is. It took me a long time.
It's funny to me that you've been building this since I've been writing this as the beginning of the inception of the store. But that's cool.
Right.
Take all the credit, Richie.
When I joined on Twitter, there wasn't a hashtag for it.
No, it's fine. It's cool. Yeah, whatever.
It's just saying that.
It's all good, Richie.
I mean, that's fine. But regardless... If you go on to Twitter, Instagram, if you go on any of these, Facebook, if you look up the hashtag IWMC, you'll see a plethora of our picks of the week. You'll see store shots. You will see our entire wall of comics, previews of new things that come out. It's kind of our communication to the fan base. It also has links to our stream sale, our book clubs, our events for Magic and gaming.
Yeah.
It's really just the fall point of all the information you can get at the easiest place.
Yep.
So what we thought to get our name out there was to create little wristbands, and we have little wristbands with the hashtag IWMC that are going to be handed out by friends of the store and family of the store out in the vastness that is Denver Comic Con.
And we have started today giving away to some of our hold slots.
Our hold slot members received them today, and if you missed out, you're not too late. You can find them at DCC, and from there, what we're going to do is we're going to randomly tweet and Facebook certain deals, discounts, and giveaways during Denver Comic Con.
Yeah, or events.
Yeah. Too.
If we have an event and we say, show up with your wristband, there you go.
So, for instance, we have... a lot of comics that we're giving away.
Yeah.
So we'll put on Twitter, come down and show us in the next 20 minutes. Come down and show us your wristband. Get a free comic.
Yes.
Come down to our booth at 1360.
Yep.
And you will get a free comic just by showing us that sweet, sweet wristband.
Or maybe I'll just give you a hug.
Or a hug. I'll offer a hug.
Or a hug.
That's fine.
If that's what you guys want, we are here.
That's correct. So be on the lookout for those little wristbands. And also, don't be afraid to tweet Instagram or Facebook us with that hashtag as well.
Absolutely. So, yeah. And so what kind of what can people expect when they come down to the show for us? What kind of things are we taking out there? What are we... I mean, we're going to have a ton of trades. We're going to have...
Me?
You?
You're taking me out.
We're going to have tons of... well, I shouldn't say tons, but we're going to, of course, bring out Joe Benitez stuff so that if people need to find something...
We have to pretty much...
He will be bringing his own stuff as well.
Well, sure.
So he will have...
Our goal is to bring a sample of our store. So we're going to be...
It's going
to
be a sample of our store.
Pops.
There's going to be statues. There's going to be pops. There's going to be trades. There's going to be comics. There's going to be a taste of everything.
Yeah.
So...
It's going to be a great place to stop and get some awesome stuff. We're going to be, again, it's the biggest booth we've ever had, right?
Yeah.
At Denver Comic Con.
Yes, definitely the biggest booth.
Which is going to be, it's going to be interesting.
I can't
yelling
wait.
Across the room.
Oh, my God!
I'll be like, Reggie!
We may think about, are we allowed to bring the...
Yeah.
That's interesting.
We could bring the walkie-talkies if we want to.
Might be something to think
might
about.
Might be. We'll have to see how it goes.
But either way, the point of us saying this is that we want you there at Denver Comic Con. We want to see you. Make sure you stop by. Say hi. Say you were listening to this podcast. You heard us yapping, and you wanted to come by and say hi. So we know...
Absolutely.
You know, we want to say hi to you guys. The whole reason we do any of this is to get to know the geek... family.
Absolutely.
And that's what we want to be a part of. So
I do want to make one disclaimer though, just for our listeners.
Oh yeah,
we did not bring your hold slot down.
We did not. No, you got to come back.
we didn't.
Actually, we get asked that every single year.
Every single year. And it's not like one person.
Year.
It's like every
you didn't
day.
Bring my hold slot. I'm like, no.
But
that's at the store, bro.
Where you
see me every week.
Why would we bring it here?
The
man?
Unique thing about that is though that we. We'll keep our store open. For those of you that didn't get Denver Comic Con tickets, you can still come by the shop and pick up some comics.
Yep.
So, which is not every store can do that in the Denver area.
A
lot of people do have to shut down. That is not the case here. We are still open. So if you're listening to this on that fancy weekend, stop by the shop.
Absolutely. Then I just want to bring up... just for the last couple minutes of the show, just let's talk about Denver Comic Con and our...
I love that idea, yeah.
Some of our history and some of our... if there's... What's one thing you want to do this year, if you only can do one thing? Because we all like... Because we don't get to do much.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things that people... they don't see the work side of it, that pretty much for...
It takes me... Well, me especially, because I spearhead all the planning for Denver Comic Con.
He does. He's so busy.
And it is like a month and a half of my time before the weekend for me to start getting everything together. That is including booth layout.
Yeah.
That's including what are we bringing. That's including I got to rent a U-Haul. I got to get tax IDs. I got to get... lot of work.
Yeah.
The Benitez thing fell in our lap because I just offhandedly asked them if they were going to be there.
Right.
And they said no. And I said, hey, funny thing, I have this huge booth. I could give you a table. And they were like, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it kind of just worked out in our favor. But there's a lot of planning that people don't realize. That you like, because everybody's like, are you excited to go to DCC? And I'm always like, no, because
well,
I work the entire weekend.
That's the thing I was going to say is that typically for Todd, Sean, Richie, and I, the ones who usually, work the booth, you usually get to do one thing that you want to do. It's typically, I really want to meet X. I really want to go to panel Y. Mm-hmm. I really want to buy this thing. That's typically about it for us for the entire weekend, not per day. That's it. Did you guys have anything that you wanted to do? You have to do one thing.
There is one panel that I would like to try to get to, and it is there's so many voice actors coming this year.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my favorite things to do at a panel especially is to witness the talent that is the people behind the cartoons that you enjoy. And I'm a fan of cartoons, and the way that they manipulate their voices and take you through voice, through sound, directly to an image in your head based on how many hours you've watched, it's incredible. And then so watching them do that in a group, because they like to screw around and then they start making your cartoon characters say really bad words and things like that, is just hilarious to me. So that would be one thing I'd like to see.
All right. Sean, what about you? What about you? Do you have one thing that you're like, yes, I have to do this? This.
Currently, I don't.
Okay.
I don't really know kind of what I want to do.
You're pretty fly by during the weekend.
Oh, I completely fly by the seat of my pants because I never know, especially with Denver Comic Con, like a bigger con like this, I never know what I'm going to be doing and who I'm going to be talking to throughout the weekend.
That's true.
Who was the girl that walked up and talked to me that one weekend? I didn't even know who she was.
Amy Acker.
Yeah, I know who she was. I saw her right there. She's really nice.
She's from Buffy and Angel. And
She came up, she started talking to me. She's like, hey, what are good comics for kids? I've got kids this age and this age. And I was like, oh, I'll help you out. So I totally sold her all this stuff. And then she walks away. And I was like, yeah, it was nice talking to you. And Zach goes, do you know who that was? I'm like, no. Because in my mind, I'm looking very mad right now.
Just
yeah, because I'm in sell zone. I'm like, you are customers. You want to come to the booth. You want to be the customer. That's fine. I'll let you be the customer.
That's right.
And then, like, it would be...
Hey, to my credit, I did not geek out either. I was professional.
No, so
After she left, I was like, yeah, you have a good day, you know, all that stuff. Here, you want a bag? Yep, here you go. And then she left. I went, yeah. And then I was like, do you know?
Because you know who that was? I'm like, yeah, no idea. But she was really nice.
Boo, this man.
Now, if like Olivia Munn walked up to the booth, might recognize that one.
Right. So, shut down. Everyone get out of the booth.
Like, I'll sell you stuff.
Exactly.
But yeah, it's going to be, for me, the cons are always fly by the seat of my pants.
Yes.
And I'll figure out something.
Yeah, when Sean, usually when he gets there, he'll go, I want to meet this artist, or I want to buy this shirt, or I want to buy this statue, or whatever it is, and that's what he'll do. So
I've gotten original pages of
exactly,
art.
Yeah.
1 year, was it? Another year, I found some really cool EC books that I wanted. Yeah. I never know what I'm going to be doing.
Exactly.
But panels, I know you love panels, and most people like panels, they're totally not for me.
Right.
So that doesn't interest me at all.
Yeah, I understand.
Then I feel bad if I go stand in a line to meet an artist or a multimedia person or, you know, like an actor. I feel bad because those lines are so long. I don't want to screw
our
booth.
Take a spot of,
and be there for like 3 hours waiting for a signature. So I can't really do that either.
Exactly.
So,
those are out of the question.
It's really hard. The only time I've ever been able to do it is when I walk by, like a couple years ago when Stephen Amell was there.
Yeah.
It was...
You run up and you go, oh my God, I'm going to see him.
Exactly. I walked. It was 6:30. The con closed at 7. I looked and there was like 4 people in line for Stephen Amell.
Uh-huh.
And I walked over and they're like, are you paying? I'm like, yeah, I want to get a signature, you know, 20 bucks or whatever it was. They go, oh, head of the line. And I was like, what? They go, these people just want to meet him and take a picture or shake his hand or whatever, but you're going to actually get a signature. So I just walked up, said, hey, love you, Nero. It's great.
Stephen Amell's super nice.
Super nice.
Yeah.
But it took me 5 minutes, but yeah. The one thing that I want to get done, and I really need to take pictures so I can show it on like Facebook or whatever, but many years ago at Denver Comic Con, I met John Bogdanov, who was one of the artists on Death of Superman, which is one of my favorite comic book stories.
We talked about this specific thing in our prized possessions in our collection.
Yes.
So those of you that remember that podcast,
yes,
keep going.
He was super awesome, super nice. No one was at his table, which made me sad. But he was
towards the end. I mean,
well,
I understand that.
Yeah. It was he named his son Kal-El.
Right.
After Superman. He's a huge Superman. His favorite job that he's ever done was Superman. He was on Man of Steel with Louis Simonson back in the 90s. And we just started talking. I talked to him about 20 minutes. But I bought this really cool, nice Death of Superman omnibus. And I said, hey, you know, can you do a head sketch of Superman in there for me and sign it? Well, he looked through the book, and there was not a blank page in the entire book. There really wasn't. And he said, hey, can I do something? I went, what? He goes, can I draw a sketch of Superman on the pages of the book?
On the spine?
On the, on the spine. And I was like, sure.
It wasn't the spine, it was the pages.
It was the
pages.
Leaf.
Yeah, the leaf. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he just closed the book, and on there the pages he did, a Superman and signed it.
Mm-hmm.
And then last year, I got Dan Jurgens to do the same thing.
Uh-huh.
And then this year, Tom Grummett, who was the artist during the Superboy stuff back in the
Death of Superman. Leather jacket, circle glasses.
He's going to be there.
Yep. You're going to try to get him to do the trifecta?
Yep, I'm going to try and get him to draw a Superboy on there. and assign it. Then the only other person I would need is Jerry Ordway, and then I will have every artist who's worked on Death of Superman on a unique item, which I think I can say no one else in the world has.
Right.
Which is pretty cool.
I love that.
Yeah, I don't know that I've ever seen anybody do the art on the leaflets at all, ever. That's a new one.
It is a new one, so...
The other thing that I enjoy about the con is following. I just follow Sean. I just ride his coattails as hard as I can and grab on his leg as he gets invited to the...
Oh, I'm like, what are you talking about?
When you get invited to the
publisher.
Yeah, the publisher.
After parties and all stuff, that kind of stuff, yeah.
That I'm looking forward to again. I had a really good time, so...
Yeah, last year we ended up, like, I ended up hanging out with Jim Shooter randomly. Yeah, right. And it was just, it was so random. Everywhere we went, it was like, oh, hey, there's this person sitting here. Let's go talk to him. I'm like, all right. Because okay. We were hanging out with Jennifer Bermel, who works for Zenoscope.
Awesome.
And she's just so every time,
the sweetest.
Yeah, every time we get together, we usually go out drinking and just go, you know, hit a few bars maybe. But we'll always run into other people she knows or people I know.
Yeah.
So then it turns into a, oh, hey, what are you doing here? Oh, yeah, let's hang out.
This way.
Yeah, we just kind of all end up someplace, and then I end up meeting other people I don't really expect to meet.
Right.
But it's all outside of the con, and it's usually people that everybody else is there to see. Right. So it's a unique experience that a lot of people don't get.
Do that, yeah.
Voice of Pinky and Wacko. I can't remember his name, but we ran into him last time.
That's pretty funny.
I actually can't remember everybody we ran into.
There were so many.
There was like a bunch.
Yeah, it was the third stop we made.
But the only reason I remembered Shooter is because he was just sitting there.
Right.
He was chilling, and he was sitting there with like three or four other people, and we just kind of ended up. Hey, come over here, talk to us. I'm like, okay.
All right.
I'm like, hey, what's up, dude? Like,
excellent.
Yeah.
Just weird. I don't know. That's the icing on the cake of getting to do this is getting to go to all stuff. Yeah.
It's one of those things where
That's actually where I get my fun.
Yeah.
Because I get to relax. I'm not trying to sell stuff to people. And if I get to meet somebody cool. Usually it ends up being a chill conversation.
Right.
Sure. You know, and that's kind of what I dig.
It feels much like an after party of a play or something like that. It's kind of like the cast party. You get to hang out with people that are in this world of selling pop culture, and they finally get to let their shoulders down for a second and just relax and be themselves, which is a unique experience.
And it's one of those things where professionals can know and like tell other professionals.
Right.
And it's not even like, oh, I'm a comic book artist and you're a comic book retailer.
Right.
No, a lot of times they're both like, hard day, huh? And you go, yeah. You know, and it's
like the time you went drinking with Lehman.
Oh yeah.
I mean, and Bedard.
Tony Bedard.
Yeah. Like it's stuff like that. It just happens and you just kind of are there.
And it's great. And then you get drunk with those guys.
Or in San Diego when Sturgis invited us to go to the Vertigo party. It was everybody that was just starting out at Vertigo.
Yeah.
This is before anybody who knew who Raphael Albuquerque was. So
that's crazy.
And they were just all hanging out. We were just kind of hanging out with them.
One of our earlier podcasts is our Comic-Con stories, and those ones are fantastic. If you haven't listened to it, I think it's around 3 or 4.
Yeah, I totally don't remember. It was so long ago.
But yeah,
because we're old now. We're like 48.
Yeah, I mean, it was before 10 when we did that issue. Because it was right before we just started the podcast. I just started working here, and we were going to Comic-Con.
You know the sad thing? I've been so wrapped up with like trying to plan this.
Yeah.
That I forgot that we do that.
That we do the parties?
Yeah.
Oh,
I spaced out that was probably going to happen.
That's going to happen, yeah.
I completely didn't remember.
That we're going to go out potentially and...
That we like maybe Saturday night we'll go hang out with whoever. Yeah, like, I forgot that we do that.
Yeah.
Oh, well. That's how wrapped I am with trying to plan all this.
Well, I never expect that.
Well, I never expect it, but it usually like 9 happens. Times out of 10, it happens.
Exactly.
And I forgot that happens. That's so bad.
Exactly. We'll probably do a little bit of hanging out with Joe Benitez. This is going to be my guest. But anyway, so again, when you hear this, this is going to be a week away.
It should be a week away.
It should be a week away.
You're planning. You're trying to figure out where you're going to be, trying to take off of work.
Yeah, if you're going to be there, come by, say hi. You know, give us high five, whatever.
We are booth 1360.
1360, and like I said, we're gonna be giving away these awesome little wristbands. Where some of us are wearing them now.
Mm-hmm. Come say hi to Joe. Come say hi to us.
Absolutely.
Yep. We're gonna
be
there.
Should be a screaming
entire weekend. No, we will not bring your whole box.
We will not have your whole slot.
Yeah. It'll be you and all your other nerdy pop culture friends all hanging out together in one big space.
Yeah, exactly. That's the whole point.
And, yeah, and just stop by. So, all
right.
So with that, I think that brings us to a close.
Yep, sure we'll does. Be back next week. So,
and we'll talk to you later.
All right, bye.